And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. Our DDD devotional diamond of the day, we ask this question, who is this? Who is this? Plus, we'll explore his name. We're going to wind it towards Common Sense Commentary, Galatians chapter 6, and today's Facebook post, Out of Blah Blah Land.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn toward drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. And the more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. Then, after decades of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined K-Praise, and this radio program began. You are about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. How could you not prevail after an introduction like that? Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations, spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and oh no, so much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? Give us a call at 866-577-2473, 866-K-PRAISE. Any topic is, of course, technically open for conversation because it's not professional radio. It's kind of like Morse code, but, you know, louder. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family. The David Spoon Experience right here on K-Praise AM 1210, the Christian station in San Diego, California. Going to take a short break and then come back, but stand by for SRN News.
Local, national, and heavenly talk. This is the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210, K-Praise, the Christian station.
With SRN News, I'm Keith Peters in Washington. The process has begun in Congress to get rid of President Obama's signature health care law. Republican Senator John Cornyn says the Senate has passed a budget measure that eases the way for repeal legislation.
We're going to continue to build a path toward more affordable health care without all the government mandates, without the one-size-fits-all approach that is going to make health insurance more affordable and people get to choose the coverage they want.
Overnight, the Senate passed a non-binding budget measure that eases the way for action on subsequent repeal legislation as soon as next month. Meanwhile, the Justice Department's Inspector General has launched a review of the FBI's actions and the furor surrounding the Hillary Clinton email server. FBI Director James Comey's activity will be investigated along with FBI Assistant Director Andrew McCabe, whose wife received $500,000 for a failed run for the Virginia State Senate from a super PAC connected to Virginia Governor Terry McAuliffe, a longtime Clinton associate. Dr. Ben Carson says that if he's confirmed as housing secretary, he can't guarantee that no money from his department would benefit businesses run by the president-elect or his family.
The question from Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren.
Can you assure me that not a single taxpayer dollar that you give out will financially benefit the president-elect or his family?
I will absolutely not play favorites for anyone.
Carson says he'll make decisions that benefit Americans and that logic and common sense will help determine that.
Capitol Hill correspondent Wally Hines reporting. The ban against former service members becoming defense secretary within 7 years after they leave the military is apparently not going to keep James Mattis from taking that post. The full Senate in an 81-17 vote has given the retired Marine general an exemption from that law. On Wall Street, the Dow down by 63 points, the NASDAQ dropped 16, the S&P lower by 5. This is SRN News.
The people of Uganda need the gospel. New believers need churches, and these churches need pastors. I'm Pastor Onesimus Ngoboka, a graduate of Southern California Seminary. I'll return to Uganda to start a Bible school so I can pass on biblical training to other pastors who will start new churches. Whitefields has joined me in this vision to provide support for pastors planting churches in the villages of Uganda. Because Whitefields understands no pastor should be a stranger. They are supporting local pastors to reach our own people.
This is David Spoon, and many of you are out there
looking for an opportunity to advance the kingdom of God. Well, your partnership by praying and donating to Whitefield's ministry can advance the cause of Christ by starting more churches in needy communities. Visit whitefields.org or call 760-846-8610 and donate today.
My name is Dale Pazinski. I volunteer with United Way to help the homeless in my community learn computer skills and build a basic resume. I don't just wear this shirt, I live it.
Give, advocate, volunteer, live united. Go to liveunited.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
The David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at KPRZ, AM 1210, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. A couple things to tell you. You want to reach the show, David Spoon at KPRZ.com. That's our email. If you don't know what email is, they've invented dirt. Stay with that. Also, I want to let you know about HisAppointment.com. If you are having a tough time trying to figure out why God let that big thing happen to you, HisAppointment.com has a lot to do with that. We're going to be getting into our DDD, but I want to give Tugboat Todd an opportunity to talk a little bit, because when I woke up today, it didn't seem like it was an abnormal day. Everything seemed pretty normal, right? Got up. I mean, I had heard some rumblings in San Diego, and then it turned out that those rumblings were, in fact, true, and that the San Diego Chargers are making a decision to move to Los Angeles, which, by the way, if you're ever driving and you're sensitive in spirit, if you ever notice almost exactly where you cross the line from county to county, just keep your spiritual radar up. You'll go, what? It's an amazing thing if you're into spiritual discernment. But I do want to talk about this because the Chargers have been a part of the San Diego community.
56 years.
56 years. That is my lifetime. My entire existence, they have been a part of the San Diego community. And so the reason that I thought it was important to bring Tugboat Todd in is because Tugboat Todd has been engaged with this Chargers for his entire life. You know, with his family, very committed, one of those much more loyal fans than typical fans, in the sense that, like me being a Lions fan, I'm from Detroit, I'll never stop rooting for the Lions, they'll never stop losing, it doesn't really matter, it's kind of like you just a part of your life, you just process through. Todd is even more so in that process. Let's just want to talk about it. So when you heard, where were you when you heard the news about the Chargers? Was it last night or was it today?
It was actually last night, because I guess a couple of players or something had let it out on Twitter.
Okay, on Twitter.
And I was still kind of in denial, but it kind of seemed like everyone's like, no, it's happening.
And then when you woke up today, was it like an affirmation, what you kind of already knew? Is that?
Yeah,
when
I woke up and
home?
I turned on to the sports talk radio, and sure enough, you know, heard them talking about it. So, it, you know, really, you know, finally was like, wow, after all this time, because I also told you, you know, I've been around since the battle for the cross on Mount Soledad, Comic-Con, is it coming, staying, going. So I've been through a lot of this in San Diego politics or whatever, of things being threatened to be taken away or leaving. So it finally hit me and my heart sunk. And the first person I thought to call was my father, because we do have a strong sports connection. So I called him up. And he's, you know, I said, oh, what a sad day it is for San Diego. And he's, yeah, it sure is. And then I just wanted to remind him that I was very thankful. And I felt very blessed that not only did we have a team, but that me and him had this great connection through the team and had all these awesome experiences of the Chargers beating the Colts in the playoffs and, you know, these great games that were, you know, fourth quarter comebacks that were high-fiving everybody in the stands, hugging each other. And it was a really great time. He apologized to me. And it kind of sounded like he was tearing up a little bit, crying. He said, you know, I'm sorry, son. I'm sorry. And I go, what do you mean you're sorry? He goes, well, I'm sorry I brought you into this. I'm sorry I dragged you in. And I know you. I kind of was one of the reasons why you got into the Chargers so much. And I said, well, let's not be sorry. It's a sad thing. It's a sad day. But they'll never take away those good memories that we had together as Charger fans.
You know, what's great about that, though, is that you called up to thank your dad, which was classy. I mean, Todd, that's a class act. Thing to do, something that a lot of people listening to this show
should consider, not in regards to the Chargers, but in regards to other things in life, being appreciative for having certain experiences that your parents helped you encounter, that they tried to bring you into. That was a great thing that you did. And then what your dad did in response was classy by itself, because he was like, it's a disappointment for me because I know it's a disappointment for you, which is like, what a great dad you have. I mean, that's kind of a cool element. And you guys are both now kind of supporting each other in this loss.
Yes,
it's a loss for the community. Does it feel like there's, I mean, now it probably doesn't feel that way, but does it feel like there's anything that, I mean, if they get another football team, will you then kind of go back in and go, let's try it again with this other football team? Or what will be the position? How will you kind of take it?
Yeah, you know, I root for the city of San Diego, and I root for any sports team that plays in the city of San Diego. So if another team comes here, no matter who it is, I will root for them. Unfortunately, I don't think my father will be around for that. But, you know, my sister just had a child and a boy, and I was kind of saying to my father, oh, geez, you know, I'll never be able to take Duncan to a Charger game. And he said, well, you never know. He said, for me, it's probably not likely. But for you, it could happen. Another 10 years, we'll get another team or something.
Well, I mean, you don't know what's going to happen here in the San Diego process, but they will try and do something. They're not going to do nothing. But I do think it's a loss, because one of the things that I thought was cool about the Chargers, I'm not an enormous Chargers fan, I'm a Lions fan, but I don't really go to a lot of football games because it's on Sunday. But anyway, the idea is that, you know, you think that San Diego is going to step in. The Chargers have always been a well-thought-of team, because anybody who wants to come to see them play comes to the city of San Diego. It's like the greatest city to come visit outside of Maui. I mean, it's just like the second best city in the entire country. So the idea is that we're hoping that there's something that they put in its place, right? I mean, you hope something happens.
Yeah, I hope so,
Yeah, but you're not going to really follow the Chargers then in L.A. Are they supposed to be the L.A. Chargers, or the L.A. Outlets, or the L.A. Lightning, or does anybody know?
I don't know. I'm guessing they're going to probably try to tie it in with like the Marvel or something, be like L.A. Avengers or something, L.A. Iron Man, I don't know.
That's where they're going, L.A. Iron Man?
I don't know. I want the city of San Diego to keep the name Chargers, just like when the Browns left and they became the Baltimore Ravens. The city of Cleveland sued them to keep the copyright name Browns with the city of Cleveland. So years later, another team came around. They were called the Browns.
Right.
So if the Chargers, city of San Diego keeps the name, I'll still wear my Charger gear proudly. But if they go up to L.A. and they're the L.A. Chargers, I just can't.
Wow. But you know what I like about the story, though, is that you and your dad had this place of connection. Now, it's a shame that it's lost, but, you know, there's a little bit of it that's kind of cool in that you both rejoice together, but now you both weep together. And that's really how a family should be. And that actually is a splendid example of what Paul was talking about in Corinthians and in Romans, where he's talking about us being a body that's connected in a family. But he also says that, you know, when one weeps, we should weep. When one rejoices, we should rejoice. There's a connection there that you and your dad found in this one place. And it's something that nobody can ever take away from you guys. And it's a lasting memory, lasting connection, lasting legacy that will always be there for you and then for your family forward, right?
Yeah, and I'm very thankful for that.
Yeah. I do want to say again, you handled that with tremendous class. You should get a lot of props for that. And typically we won't take a subject like this and talk about it this length. But when you told me earlier, you know, you called and thanked your dad, then he apologized to you. You're just thinking that's quality humanity. That's like the better part of people. When things say, you get to hear about all the crummy news and all the dumb things and everybody being mad at each other. That's the kind of stuff that, man, if we could hear that once a day, that kind of thing, it would be terrific. I want you to pass along to your dad when you talk to him, tell him that I think he's a classy kind of father, and I hope I can have that much class at any point in my life. That's really kind of a cool thing.
Thanks, Dave, and thank you for letting me share that.
Yeah, it was a great job, and we'll have that on record for the rest of our lives, and that's an important element.
And so for what I'd say to San Diego, you know, one of the things that's important in Scripture, you know, people will go to Jeremiah 29 and they will go to Jeremiah 29, 11, you know, and talk about the, you know, the plans that I have for you, says the Lord, and an exciting element because we always think of those as future plans, even though in context it has to do with Israel. But there's a passage a little bit earlier that talks about the fact that we should be praying for the benefit and the blessing of the city, because as the Lord blesses the city, we too will be blessed. And that is an important principle for Christians to recognize. With that in mind, we have some events that are going to be coming up that are geared towards the city. You got some of the district executive people working with other ministries that are city oriented about creating some sense of unity. Had some gentlemen in the station today, and we had a chance to talk about the fact that, you know, there is different denominations, there are different thought processes, but boy, wouldn't it be fantastic if Christians could get together and not seek to proselytize church to church, but just get together understanding that we have one Father, we drink of one Holy Spirit, and we are blood relatives through the blood of Jesus Christ, and get together and pray for the wellness of the city and the blessing of the city and the input of the city. One of the things that I have been praying personally is just that our leaders would have a sense of humility. Wouldn't it be great if Christians get together and be humble and not have to worry about stealing one another's sheep and just get together, whether you're a Baptist, whether you're a Pentecostal, whether you're a Methodist, whether you're a Lutheran, whether you're a Presbyterian, Methodist, whatever you are, if you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God and the Word of God is the testimony from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21, and you want to be a part of that, we're going to create some of those, we're going to create some vehicles and venues for some of those opportunities. We're going to have Thomas Bush, are going to talk to him and bring him on in the next, you know, so many days and have him talk about some of the unity principles. There's prayers, unifying prayers going over all over San Diego, and we're going to start identifying that on the show and telling people about that so people can have access to that. I think that's a good idea. I think we need to be united more than anything in any other capacity, and if we can do it without agendizing the process and do it with a sincere pursuit of God's grace on our city, I think it'd be a good thing. That's just my thought on that. All right, folks, we're going to take a break and then come back with some teaching information. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on K-Praise AM 1210, the Christian station in San Diego, California. Short break. We'll be back.
The David Spoon Experience continues on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
No part of our lives is hidden from God's grace and power.
Our Daily Bread.
Today's encouragement from the Our Daily Bread devotional was written by David McCaslin. In 2015, an international research company stated that there were 245 million surveillance cameras installed worldwide, and the number was growing by 15% every year. In addition, multiplied millions of people with smartphones capture daily images ranging from birthday parties to bank robberies. Whether we applaud the increased security or denounce the diminished privacy, we live in a global cameras-everywhere society. The New Testament book of Hebrews says that in our relationship with God, we experience a far greater level of exposure and accountability than anything surveillance cameras may see. Hebrews 4 tells us His word, like a sharp two-edged sword, penetrates to the deepest level of our being, where it judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of Him to whom we must give account. Because Jesus, our Savior, experienced our weaknesses and temptations but did not sin, we can approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. We don't need to fear Him, but can be assured we'll find grace when we come to Him. Sometimes we need a little extra motivation to help us spend time in God's Word each day. And now it couldn't be easier with email devotionals from Our Daily Bread. Sign up for the daily encouragement at getodbtoday.org. Today's encouragement was provided by Our Daily Bread Ministries.
is Albert Moeller for townhall.com. Thomas Sowell, the economist and columnist and senior fellow at the Hoover Institution at Stanford University, announced recently that he is retiring. He's been writing a column since the early 1970s, and when it comes to thinking in terms of worldview, Thomas Sowell has been one of the most significant figures now alive. In this area of worldview analysis, his most important book was 1987's A Conflict of Visions. Sowell began, and I quote, "One of the curious things about political opinions is how often the same people line up on opposite sides of different issues. The issues vary," he continues, "yet the same familiar faces can be found glaring at each other from opposite sides of the political fence again and again. His conclusion? They have different visions of how the world works." That's Sowell's way of saying they have different worldviews, and that worldview is so fundamental that it determines everything else. Thomas Sowell has ended his distinguished writing career at age 86. He will be missed. I'm Albert Moeller.
Local, national, and heavenly talk. This is the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at K-Praise, AM 1210, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. If you want to reach the show, David Spoon at KPRZ.com. Shout and props out to our very own tugboat, Todd, for having that opportunity to share about him and his dad, both son and father, full of class, and we appreciate that very much. Good job. All right, so I can't remember if we got a sign. You know what? I think my brain is stepping back to where my dog is. Because I know we just covered this like 30 minutes before the show, and I can't remember. So do we have one for this one? Okay, is it one that we can hear? All right, let me hear.
Who are you?
Play that again. No, you can't. All right, here we go. Who are you? What's that from?
Alice in the Wonderland.
Oh, okay. So that's the who are you question. Well, that is so close to this one because this one is called Who Is This? So who are you? Who is this? We do the best we can, folks. We do the best we can, you know? Limited budget. If you got an extra $1 million, you let us know. We'll get that taken care of. All right. Coming out of Daniel chapter 3, verse 15. This was in my devotions this a.m., as I was reading about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, which is a fascinating story, which I'm going to do a teaching on like in about 2 weeks. But I want to use this one verse as it is fantastic. Daniel chapter 3, verse 15. "Now, when you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the zither, the lyre, the harp, the pipe, and all kinds of music, if you are ready to fall down and worship the image I made, very good. But if you do not worship it, you will be thrown immediately into a blazing fire. Then what God will be able to rescue you from my hand?" Nebuchadnezzar talking to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego about the fact that they did not bow down to the image 90 feet high, 9 feet wide, no doubt on some kind of pedestal, was this gold image. Full gold, maybe. Some people think it was gold-plated. Who cares? There's this 90-foot image that Nebuchadnezzar made. Some people think it was the image of Nebu, which is one of the gods that Nebuchadnezzar was named after. Other people believe the image was Daniel because of what he just did in interpreting the dream, and that's why Daniel's not in the story. I don't know. Could be. Sounds great. Fantastic. Here's the bottom line. They would not bow down. They would not compromise. And Nebuchadnezzar was, you know, got really mad. And you know the story, how they turned up. He turned up the furnace and, you know, threw them in and they survived. But prior to that, as Nebuchadnezzar is talking to them, you must remember that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are three very influential people. This is not three street peddlers. These are people who are in the kingdom, who are political structuring people, well thought of, well-groomed, well-bred kind of people that had influence. So he was about to take three of his key leaders and kill them. And he says, "Then what God will be able to rescue you from my hand?" You want to hear something fascinating? There's other world leaders that have made similar statements or asked similar questions. In Exodus chapter 5, verse 2, Pharaoh said, "Who is the Lord that I should obey him and let Israel go? I don't know the Lord, and I will not let Israel go." So the same thing that Nebuchadnezzar said, Pharaoh said. Now watch this. The same thing that Pharaoh said and Nebuchadnezzar said was said in a similar fashion when you had the spokesperson or the ambassador come against Israel and said, well, just before they were taken over, in the time of Hezekiah, the spokesman said, "What God of any nation has ever been able to save its people from my power? So what makes you think your Lord can rescue Jerusalem from me?" Again, these are all three things that are, they're questioning God. You get that? Now, wait, I'm going to blow your mind. Okay, well, I hope I don't blow your mind, but I'm going to open up your mind, hopefully. You know who else asked this question? Get ready. Get ready. You know who else asked this question? The disciples of Jesus Christ. And you're thinking, what? They did not. Sure they did. Mark chapter 4, verses 38 through 41. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him up and said, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up and rebuked the wind and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked one another, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." Who is this? So here you got Nebuchadnezzar saying, "What God's going to be able to rescue you from my hand?" You got Pharaoh saying, "Who's the Lord that I should obey him?" You got the spokesperson, against Hezekiah saying, "What makes you think the Lord can rescue you?" Then you got the disciples going, "Who is this guy?" Isn't that amazing? That's amazing. Why is that amazing? Because all of these people are having encounters with God in some format, in some way, or God's representatives in some way, or God himself directly in some way, and they're asking this unusual question. Who is this? And what I want you to get into your mind is, if you're Nebuchadnezzar, if you understand, and especially prior to this, Nebuchadnezzar in Daniel chapter 2, which we talked about the other day, Nebuchadnezzar was in charge and large. No animal ate unless Nebuchadnezzar allowed it. How big is that? I'm not talking about in the city, about all that he governed. He governed the territories. He was the most powerful man on the planet. Pharaoh, in his time, was one of the most powerful people on the planet. Asking this same question. Who's this? Who? What? Who are you? The disciples in amazement with Jesus Christ because Jesus did something that was just as astounding as anything else. Keep in mind, with Nebuchadnezzar, you had Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego thrown into the furnace. With Jesus, Jesus talked to the wind and the waves. He told the wind, "Okay, you know what? Stop talking." He told the waves, "You know what? Stop waving. That's enough." And they obeyed. And that prompted the disciples to sit there and look at one, obviously looking at one another. They were terrified, the Bible. They were terrified and asked you, "Who is this? Who is this?" Because if you were in a boat and somebody got up in the boat and said, "Okay, wind, that's enough of you. Okay, waves, that's enough of your waving. You be still, and the wind, you be quiet, and everybody calm it down. I'm sleeping here." And the disciples are like, "What?" And Nebuchadnezzar's, "What?" And Pharaoh's, "What?" And when we come back, we're going to answer that. Because, you see, that's a question that you have to answer. Nebuchadnezzar needed an answer. Pharaoh needed an answer. The spokesperson needed an answer. And the disciples needed an answer. And you need an answer, too. You're no different than they are. And we'll cover that answer when we get back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KPRZ AM 1210, the Christian station in San Diego, California. Short break. Don't go anywhere.
Local, national, and heavenly talk. This is the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210, KPRZ, the Christian station.
Hey, KPRZ friends. Sam Rasul here with Keller Williams Realty. So I heard you've been on the internet trying to figure out what your home's worth. Stop that. The internet's a scary place. If you or someone you know is considering selling, call me. I'll give you a free and accurate home value report. The market is changing and you need to know what's going on. I've been selling homes all over San Diego for more than 20 years. I'm a trusted KPRZ partner and fellow believer. You have nothing to lose by calling me. My in-home consultation and home value report are free. When we meet, I'll give you a copy of my book, Muslim by Birth, Christian by Faith, and I'll even donate to your favorite charity or ministry. Call me now, 858-780-1SAM, 858-780-1SAM, or just visit thinksam.com, realestatethinksam.com. Thanks.
This is John MacArthur here with more Portraits of Grace. If you had lived when and where Jesus did, having enough food and clothing could have been a real source of worry. Yet Jesus said to those around him and to us, "Don't be anxious for your life as to what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor for your body as to what you shall put on. Is not life more than food and the body than clothing?" Do you see the profound point he's making? He's saying, look, it's not the food and clothing that keep you alive. It's God. He can sustain you perfectly. Even without the means of food and wardrobe, He is the sustainer of life, not the external things. So next time you're tempted to worry about the basics, remember your life is in God's hands. Trust Him and show yourself to be a portrait of grace.
The people of Uganda need the gospel. New believers need churches, and these churches need pastors. I'm Pastor Onesimus Ngoboka, a graduate of Southern California Seminary. I'll return to Uganda to start a Bible school so I can pass on biblical training to other pastors who will start new churches. Whitefields has joined me in this vision to provide support for pastors planting churches in the villages of Uganda. Because Whitefields understands no pastor should be a stranger. They are supporting local pastors to reach our own people.
This is David Spoon, and many of you are out there looking for an opportunity to advance the kingdom of God. Well, your partnership by praying and donating to Whitefields Ministry can advance the cause of Christ by starting more churches in needy communities. Visit whitefields.org or call 760-846-8610 and donate today.
The David Spoon Experience continues on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at KPRZ AM 1210, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. If you are driving on the road, take your time. It's because it's wet, so you don't need to be in such a hurry. Take it easy. Take a deep breath. If you're at your house, this is a replay and it's at night, take it easy. Rest. Rest is a good thing. Right? Take it easy. Everybody needs to take a deep breath. There's a lot of intensities around, but there doesn't need to be a lot of intensities around. I'm pretty sure Jesus said something about if your heart doesn't need to be troubled, that if you have trust in God, you have trust in Jesus Christ, you can have a confidence, a safety, a peace, not just of your mind and of your heart, but of your existence and your communion with the Lord. I was doing some devotions for one of my master's assignments that I have, and it was really kind of a nice thing. It was just talking about rewriting part of that devotion in your own words, and I was just like, I need to remember that I can rest in your almighty arms. I can just like take it easy because I want to control everything, but that is me and my flesh. And that is not me and my trust. All right, so we were talking about a very important question, probably one of the most important questions that a person might encounter. We were discussing Nebuchadnezzar dealing with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And if you know the story pretty much is that Nebuchadnezzar built a statue. It was a 90-foot by 9-foot statue made of gold. And everybody, when they heard the music, was supposed to bow down and worship. And actually, in the Hebrew, it says fall down and worship. But, you know, it's the same idea. And the whole point there is that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego wouldn't do it. They were not willing to compromise. And in fact, when they talked to the king, there's no question, no question that they talked roughly. There's just zero question that they were like, well, you know, it doesn't matter whether you think we should do this or not, because this is what we're doing. And it's like that kind of attitude coming off in their speech. You're thinking, well, they shouldn't have talked to the king that way. Okay, well, tell it to God, since God's the one that delivered them from the fire. Tell them they did that wrong. Go ahead. The whole point is they told the king, no, no, we're not worshiping your gods. We're not bowing down. We're not doing it. It's not happening. And the not happening part was honored by the Lord when they ended up getting tossed into the fire. There were three of them, and then it was Nebuchadnezzar. It's like, didn't we toss three people in there? And everybody's like, yeah. I was like, well, there's four people in there. He's freaking out because why? Because the Lord was so gracious and so, you know, they were so protective of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The fire wasn't going to hurt him. Just so you can know, because this is a fantastic part. When Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out, there was not even the smell of fire. It says, the Bible says that their hair was not singed, neither was there any smell of fire. That's fascinating. That's like, wow. But the premise of this comes off Nebuchadnezzar saying, what God will be able to rescue you from my hand? That's the question he asked. What God is there that's big enough to do this? Pharaoh had the same kind of attitude. Who's the Lord that I should obey him? Like, whatever. Doesn't matter to me. The disciples in their own situation was like, who is this? The wind and the waves even obey him. One of the most important questions that can be asked in life is, who is this? Who is this that you deal with? Who is this that I deal with? Who is this Lord God? Who is this? Who is this? Well, what is going on here? Well, I'm going to give you just a couple of titles that I pulled out, just a couple, because I don't think it's necessary to go too far and too deep for everybody to get this. But what I want you to be able to do is, when you're in your circumstance, when you're in your situation, when you're in your encounter, when you're on the road getting frustrated, when you're at work and you don't like your boss, when you're in a situation that your children are rebellious, when your wife's not listening, when your husband's not paying attention, when all this stuff is going on, I want you to think about who rules the universe and answer this question. Who is this that oversees all of this? Who is this? Because everything in life depends on our response to this question. Can I give you the first big title that the Lord has or uses, besides using the word God or Elohim, you know, in the sense of Jehovah? Or you want to use Jehovah? You want to use Elohim? I don't care. You know what the first big title coming out of Genesis 14, 19? You want to hear what the title is? The Most High God. The implication is that there might be little gods. The implication is there might be somebody under, some other beings or powers that are less than. That would be accurate in the sense that they're not necessarily gods, but they're less powers, less powerful. And so who we're dealing with in our situations is not a god who can participate in a situation. We're dealing with the Most High God. The Most High God? Yeah. Watch this. That's from Genesis 14, 19. Just watch this. This is out of Revelation 4, 8. The Lord God Almighty. And what you got to get about that is the word Almighty means all powerful. Right? Not partly powerful, all powerful. Here's another title. The King of the Universe. Wait. So when Nebuchadnezzar said, well, what God can get you out of this situation? Here's the answer. The Most High God. Well, what God can get you out of this circumstance? The Lord God Almighty. Well, what God can help you in this process? The King of the Universe. And you're thinking, yeah, those are good answers. And when Pharaoh was like, who's the Lord that I should pay attention? Here's the answer. The Most High God. The Lord God Almighty, the King of the universe, that's who. It's like, well, that answer, that requires response. And when the disciples said, who is this? You know what the answer is? The Most High God, the Lord God Almighty, the King of the universe. We've talked about this in the past. When Jesus was with the disciples on the boat, Jesus said, let's go over to the other side. Jesus didn't say, let's try to go over to the other side. Jesus said, let's go over to the other side. Now, I don't care if that boat would have turned into a submarine. That boat was going to the other side because the Son of the Living God said, we're going to the other side. And that was the end of the issue. When Jesus said, why don't you have faith? It wasn't for anything, but it was like, listen, I said we're going to the other side, and we're going to the other side, and that's going to happen if we have to shift the earth off its axis and make me get to the other side. It doesn't matter. And so you're thinking, wait, you're going to tell me that the Lord God Almighty, the King of the universe, the Most High God, that he's the answer to this question? Who is this? Yes. And in your circumstance, if you want to know who can help you, who is it that can help you? Well, it's the Lord God Almighty, the King of the universe, the Most High God. You want to hear one of the great, great names of God? And there's more than 17 in the Old Testament, but you want to hear one of the great, great names of God? In Exodus 3:14, when Moses says, whom shall I say is calling? Because that's kind of what he said. Who do I say sent me? It's like the same thing. God says, I am who I am. Now you got a whole group of heretic people that think that's not really a name. That's not really a name if you don't have an education. You're right. But for those that understand what it means, I am who I am means that God will be whoever he needs to be to demonstrate he's God, to prove that he's God, to proclaim that he's God, and to pour himself out upon people so they know who he is. You know what God is when you need him? You need him in a healing aspect? He's Jehovah Rapha. He's the God that heals. So there's all these different names that are attached to God for all these different circumstances, which is why God has the name I am who I am. Because your circumstance might be one of safety. Your circumstance might be one of protection. Your circumstance might be one of finances. Your circumstance might be one of healing. Your circumstance might be one of peace. Well, he is who he is. Whoever God needs to be to demonstrate he's God, he is. And that's what it means when he says, I am who I am. I am all the things that I need to be so that people can know I am God and so that the children can know I am with them. Like, wow. Not only is that the greatest name ever, I am, and I am who I am. That's not only the greatest name, but it is all-encompassing for every need, for every scenario, for every situation, and for every level of comfort you could possibly ever need. And when that other group that talks about it says, well, I don't understand the name, it's like, well, you don't understand God. It's amazing how God is the God of comfort, New Testament title, when you need comfort. Isn't it? Isn't that fantastic? God is the God of provisions when there's 5 loaves and 2 fish. Isn't that amazing? God is the God of grace when the thing you need the most is grace. He is what he needs to be to demonstrate that he's God in each and every circumstance without apology. I understand it's the desire of humanity to fully comprehend divinity, but that is kind of like the immortal being squished into mortal mentality. It's like you don't necessarily get all of divinity in humanity. You don't get immortality as a mortal. You might not get all of God, but you know what you get from God? Everything you need to understand he's God. That's what you get. Hey, you know what? It's pretty good. I like it. I'll take it all day long. All right, take a short break. Then we come back with our Facebook post. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here at KPRZ AM 1210, the Christian station in San Diego, California. Short break. I'll be back.
The David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station.
Sometimes
Sometimes we want to tackle things on our own, like fixing a leaky toilet or duct taping a small crack. Other times we need to skip the do-it-yourself attitude and get somebody who knows what they're doing so the job gets done right. Excalibur Roofing gets the job done right for new roof construction, old roof replacements, and repairs. With over 20 years of experience, an active member in the BBB, licensed and bonded, and testimonials from people just like you, Excalibur Roofing is your knight in shining armor. There's a big difference between a general contractor and a roofing contractor. You want a roofing contractor like Eric at Excalibur Roofing. Otherwise, it's just like going to the family pediatrician and saying, Doc, I need some brain surgery, so just pull out that scalpel and get her done. Not a smooth move. Get it done right. Just call Excalibur Roofing at 760-743-8803. That's 760-743-8803. Or go to their website at ExcaliburRoofing.com. All estimates are free. Call Eric at 760-743-8803. Remember, Excalibur Roofing, they've got you covered.
Hey, K-Praise friends. Sam Rasul here with Keller Williams Realty. So I heard you've been on the internet trying to figure out what your home's worth. Stop that. The internet's a scary place. If you or someone you know is considering selling, call me. I'll give you a free and accurate home value report. The market is changing and you need to know what's going on. I've been selling homes all over San Diego for more than 20 years. I'm a trusted K-Praise partner and fellow believer. You have nothing to lose by calling me. My in-home consultation and home value report are free. When we meet, I'll give you a copy of my book, Muslim by Birth, Christian by Faith, and I'll even donate to your favorite charity or ministry. Call me now, 858-780-1SAM, 858-780-1SAM, or just visit thinksam.com, realestatethinksam.com. Thanks.
Recently on Washington Watch Live, Tony Perkins talked about the need to maintain a relationship with the new Congress.
The Republicans have in the past been more concerned about preserving their majority than using that majority to advance things that brought them to office. You will be critical in the accountability portion of this. Two things, really, that you and I need to be doing in the next 6 months in particular, but ongoing. And that is, number one, to be praying for these members of Congress. There's so many competing interests that come after them once they come to Washington, D.C. And so it's important we pray for them, that they stay focused, that the Lord provide for them, protect them, their families. It's a difficult environment. But then secondly is the accountability aspect. And I mean that in a positive sense of simply saying, hey, we want to help you do what you said you were going to do.
You can find out more when you visit TonyPerkins.com.
Local, national, and heavenly talk. This is the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at K-Praise, AM 1210, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. I hope you're doing well. If you're not doing well, I hope you do better after you hear this, or I hope you spend some time with the Lord, then you'll definitely be doing better. That's the way to go about it. So we have a Facebook post, and that's going to create a few problems. You're thinking, why? Well, it's not theologically built out so that you can defend it as a treaty. It's just a Facebook post, people. It's just a simple Facebook post. So if you hear it and you get uptight, it just means you're too uptight. That's what that means. All right? So you can interpret it for yourself. Here we go. Ready? Here's what it says. Do we have a sound for this? We do have a sound. So let's go to. You want no sound? All right, we'll wait. Here we go. Here's what it is. If you don't know whether you have the Holy Spirit, catch this. Okay? Catch this. If you're a Christian, you already have the Holy Spirit. Can't get into the salvation package without the Holy Spirit. Doesn't work. But that doesn't mean, listen to what I just said, but that doesn't mean, listen to what I said, but that doesn't mean you've opened yourself up to all that the Holy Spirit wants to do in your life. See, even though when you got saved, you got the package, you come behind in no gift in Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 4 through 7. There's no gift you come behind. And you don't get Jesus and the Father, but not the Spirit. And you don't get the Spirit and Jesus and not the Father. It doesn't work that way. Okay, that's not how the Trinity works. If you're a Trinity, Bible-believing, born-again Christian, it doesn't work that way. You should know that. But just because you have the Holy Spirit in your life doesn't mean that you're open to all the things the Holy Spirit wants to do in your life, because there could be all these things that the Lord's looking to do in your life, and you're like, duh. So here's the bottom line. When you get saved, you get the whole thing. You receive everything you need in Jesus, but that doesn't mean you use everything you get from God, does it? I think anybody would testify in a bazillion years that even when you get saved, there's all these things that the Lord seems to pull out of you either week after week, month after month, year after year, that after you've been a Christian for more than, you know, an hour, you're figuring out, wait, there's a lot of stuff that's being pulled out of me, like string being pulled out of a ball, and more is coming out, more and more is coming out. Almost like, you know, when a magician has the little thing and they start pulling out all the different handkerchiefs. It's kind of like that. The Lord's pulling more stuff out. You're like, whoa, 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 whoa. You need to be aware that just because you received everything in Jesus doesn't mean you use everything in Jesus. I'm pretty confident no matter where I'm at right now, I'm not using everything in the Lord that the Lord has available for me. So part of that answer, not the full of it, but a big part of that answer is for us to be more responsive to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is called our guidance counselor and our comforter. So my only question is, if he's your guidance counselor or your counselor, how are your counseling sessions going? Are they going good? Because you better be having counseling sessions or something's wrong. So all you got to do to get to that kind of place, you know, it's like you don't do anything weird. This isn't charismata. This is obedienza. You know what the difference is between charismata and obedienza? One is obedience and one is charismata. I think you can figure that out. You just tell the Lord, I'm open. Do whatever you want to do. I'm available. Teach me, show me, guide me, allow me to be empowered. That is a responsibility we have towards the Lord to go, this is your day. What would you like to do in me? What you like to do? What you like to teach me? We should be doing that. I don't think we do that all that great. We should be doing that. And I have noticed that some Christians are kind of stuck in blah, blah land. You know what blah, blah land is? Blah, 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 blah. Your Christianity is like, go boring. I'm going to go with the disciples didn't think walking with Jesus was boring. I'm just going to shoot it out there and say, hey, in a way, 3.5 years with the Messiah, maybe not boring since he's raising the dead, preaching, people are converting. I mean, it must have been an unbelievable. They had so much activity. There's a portion of scripture which says they were so busy, they didn't even have time to eat. That's pretty busy. You know how you get that way. Only we do that once in a week or every 3 weeks, and then we tell everybody at work we're the busiest people ever. That's kind of how that goes. I think most people are aware. But the key is to move yourself from blah, 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 and more into God's land, which is the promised land, by being more responsive to the Lord. And saying, whatever you want to do. I had a wonderful chat with somebody the other day, and, you know, it's just like, look, if the Lord is doing it, I want to be a part of it. I want to be connected to it. So some of you, you're saved, and you think, we talked about this earlier, you're saved, and you're thinking, yeah, this whole Savior thing's fantastic, and I'm saved, and I'm not going to go to hell, but there's not a lot of lordship stuff going on. Which means you love the justification part, but the sanctification part, not so much. I like being told I'm clean. I don't want to have to get cleaned up now. It's like, you don't get one without the other. The idea is for us to just be more sensitive, more responsive to the Lord. There's nothing big or nothing bizarre about that. Maybe it's a little bit more focus on the Lord, a little bit less focus on us. And a little bit has to do with selfish and selfless. And you can exercise a lot of that by getting a concentration or a care for other people. But you can also get that by spending considered, purposeful time with the Lord. Okay. You can do this. This is something that the Lord has enabled you to do. He has given you all the power necessary to spend time with him. All of the judicial elements have been covered through the redeeming work of Jesus Christ. Now, do we spend time with him with that? No. We don't use or avail ourselves of all the great things that God has brought to us. Most of us don't even spend time in the Word, which has been given to us by God for our advantage. So that tells you we're not using everything the Lord has given us. We need to be more responsive to the Lord. We need to be more responsive to his word. We need to be more responsive in fellowship and connection. That's just a good idea to get out of blah, blah land. Okay? All right, cool. All right, folks, you've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on K-Praise AM 1210, the Christian station in San Diego, California. Taking a 22-hour break, then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
The David Spoon Experience on K-Praise, 1210 AM, KPRZ.